Blog Talk Radio. Give me a hot second here. I was uploading the minutes. I just had a chance to review them. And how are you two doing today?
I'm doing fine.
All right, amen. Good to hear that. What about you, Sister Denise?
I'm doing good.
All right, amen to that too. Amen. Let me see. Let me go into the studio here. All right. So, let's see. Let me see if I get these minutes uploaded. Now, if we get cut off, we are expecting some strong thunderstorms here. So if we lose power or anything like that, then I will text you and let you know. It may be that we may be able to come back this evening. We may not. Depends upon how long the power is out, if it goes out. Or if we lose internet. Okay, so there is the minute. Something else here. No, we haven't talked about anything yet. Hold on a second. No, I ain't said nothing. Let's see. Where did I put that at? Here, yeah. All right, so as I said, I want to welcome everybody to the business meeting. In September, these will start to go private. So this will be the last one that we do in a public setting. I will send out the email to the private meeting, and I still need to be able to make a copy of that meeting, an audio copy. I'll probably just copy it on my computer, record it on my computer for prosperity's sake. We want to go ahead and I make a motion that we go ahead and that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
One second.
A second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Sister Denise, you're muted if you're talking.
Okay. I'm not muted. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
All right, amen. Okay. We're going to go ahead and pray in, and then we will do our readings of the minute. And Sister Mary, they're right there. Can you see them on the screen?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So they'll be there for you to read. I think I need to make another correction to the – I'm going to make the correction, but I won't put it up. The cooperative was misspelled. So it's just administrative change, so it won't affect anything. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Well, our statement of faith first. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise for today. Hallelujah. lift you up over there, Father, and we magnify your name. For you are our Elohim, and we will not serve another, and another we will not bow down to, except for you and you alone, Father. So we give you glory, honor, and praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Holy hand raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Mm-hmm. All right, now we'll have the reading of the minute. For the last meeting by Sister Mary.
Okay, let me get my glass.
Get your Bible.
Our last meeting was August the 21st, 2023. We started at 7 p.m. and the meeting ended at 9:07 p.m. Attendance at the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Denise, Sister Mary, and Sister Claire. The discussion of the meeting was the microgreens. The microgreens have been growing now. That's being grown now are going to be made into powder. People are starting to buy microgreens in powder form. Where's my U.S.? Oh, I don't know. Anyway. The September market starts September 13th, which is on a Sunday, and September 15th, which is on a Friday, and September 17th, which is on a Wednesday. The new market starts in October, starts October 8th, 2023. Grown from the new, I suppose he's going for the new market, starts August. The growing for the new market starts August the 29th until the 31st. In November, the prices of the microgreen powder increases $80. Next year, the microgreen powder will be full price. Brother Miles is adding more vegetables to the crop. He'll be selling 11 different microgreens. The people that regularly live here, sales are good. Brother Miles is trying to get the sales up to $1,000 to grant. Still no word from the USDA. Brother Miles is still staying in contact with the USDA. How did I miss that?
I did.
To see what's happening with the grant. Brother Miles is staying in contact with Kayla also, the bylaw. Section 12.01, 2 and 3. These are still in this section. Section 12.01, 4 and 5. Hold on. These are made into another section, section 12.17, section 12.01, 1 and 2, A and B, 3 and 4, A to D, 5 and 6 and 7, who's made, voted, all agreed, adopted as written. Section 12.02, allowable debt for a contract guarantor will be discussed at the next meeting. Where is my YLC?
Where is it?
Okay. There it is.
YLC
secretary. It's upside down.
What do you mean it's upside down?
It's supposed to be on top of my name.
No. I be changing that every time.
Oh, okay.
Your title should go up under your name.
Okay.
So I'll be changing that every time.
Okay, well, Mary Dyson, YLC, Secretary.
Okay. All right, so I make a motion that we approve the minutes as read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Ayes have it. The minutes are adopted. I did make the corrections to the minutes as you were reading them, Sister Mary. Like I didn't catch USDA was the D was missing from USDA either. So
because I was like, where's the D at?
Yeah, I didn't catch it, but I've corrected it, and so the minutes are correct. Okay,
because I got it down here. Brother Miles is still staying in contact with the USA. Hello.
Yeah, with them too.
The same people, huh?
Yep. They're all the same.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right, so the minutes are adopted as read with the corrections, the administrative corrections made. And so let me save this. Okay, now updates to this. Microgreens are growing well. We have created powders, a new batch of powders, and we will be adding to that. I have about 13 trays of microgreens that are growing right now. To be made into powders. We are starting to grow for the market, so we've initiated those grows starting yesterday. We initiated those grows starting yesterday so that they will be ready for the market starting on the 13th, and then I will start new plants tomorrow during the day, another group of crops for the market on the 15th, and then 2 days after that, Sunday, I will start to grow for the market on the 17th. What we want to do is make sure that we have 2 weeks growth for each crop. So that they're larger, we get more volume. I have been harvesting them at 10 days, between 10 and 14 days in the past. But during the summertime, they were growing smaller, so we weren't getting the bulk that we needed out of the plant. So we'll be ready for these markets that are starting up, and we want to be have a full crop. Every market, we're adding. I bought beet, and I bought another one. What else did I buy? Hold on a second. I think it was kohlrabi, because I was looking for basil, but there was no basil to be found. Sign in. Both of mine, let me see. Yeah, so I bought beet, and we're gonna be adding beet and cantaloupe. And the cantaloupe is supposed to actually be sweet as the microgreen, sweeter than the actual melon itself. So I'll let you guys know. Those seeds haven't come in yet, but I will be adding those in. I probably will not add those to the wellness mix, but I will have to see whether we will turn these particular ones into powders. The beets probably, but the cantaloupe Probably not. I'll have to see. I have to wait and get a crop in for both of those. We're adding them in, so I just ordered those seeds last night. I wanted to start doing a couple of herbs, but herbs are expensive. The seeds are expensive, and you don't get a whole lot of seed. But we will be adding some herbs as well because people have asked me for basil. They've asked me for watercress, but I'm not finding watercress seeds to buy. So whenever they become available, then we'll add watercress as well. We are growing the radishes. We're growing two different types of radishes, actually three different types. Radishes are real popular. Some people like them real spicy. Some people don't like them as spicy. So we're growing, for the market, we're growing two different types. We have three different types of seeds. The daikon radish was doing real well at the market, but I know the winter crowd, they like the spicier radish. So we're, bringing that back out. Then the wheatgrass is growing well. What we have done, as I said, we went to, growing everything more so in the dark and keeping down on the heat. And then we also noticed that when there's a dome over the plant and the moisture is kept in, that they do better. And so I will, of these domes, to set up. But I actually had to order some more trays. My wife had ordered some trays that had domes on them, and we tried it with some fenugreek, and the fenugreek did real well with it. As far as germinating and growing roots. And the sunflower seemed to do well as well in it. But I think we're going to have to add a screen for the sunflower so they have something more to grab onto. So we're playing around with a few things, but I'm thinking that the summertime and even in the winter, I think I'm going to try to use these domes more often because they seem to, once the plants germinate and the moisture stays in, they seem to take to that real well, keeping them, under the dome once they have germinated and start growing up. They tend to maintain more of the moisture, which, a lot of the moisture evaporates, especially in the heat. So this is a good thing. So I think I ordered 25 new trays that have the domes on them, but that they fit, they'll fit over the existing trays that I have. So we'll do, those that don't do well up under the dome or in the wintertime, the domes don't seem to be working as well, then we still have, the regular trays, but we just not use these domes. I bought a spice lay rack for the market to put our spices on, to put our powdered microgreens on for display rather than just having them sitting on the table. Marketing and presentation is everything. And so I had meant to buy a spice rack before, just never did it, went ahead and bought one so that when we set up, we put the powdered microgreens on that, and that will, make them display better. This is the label that goes on the powdered microgreens. So we call them microgreen super powders. Before we had just the wellness mix, and I didn't have this part with the hand up under it. But I thought that it would be a nice touch. I may change the color to red, something that sticks out. But we will be going up on the prices of these probably starting in November. So I want to offer the ones that we have now in the current stock. We'll say it's 75% off where I figure out, you know, well, we're selling for 40, so that's well over about 60% off. And what I will do is put a sign that says that 60% off. People ask, well, I say, you know, I'm going to put introductory price, 60% off. And then say that, you know, put on there that they will be going up to $80 a bottle starting in November. So that we can make more money from them and it's closer to, you know, what it would cost them to do this live. We also bought the moisture pads, small moisture pads that go in the bottom of the jars that will keep the powder dry. And so it'll help it last longer. And so just little things that we're adding in to try to get, you know, the sales up and make the product last a little bit longer. People who use it, who are regularly using it, you know, they're not taking 30 days to use it, and then, you know, they're coming back and buying more. So what I have done is I have a bottle for you, Sister Mary, and you, Sister Denise, that I will be putting in the mail tomorrow. That's why I had to call, you know, get your updated address, Sister Mary, because I hadn't updated it. I couldn't find the envelopes I usually would be using, and I hadn't updated in the database. So I updated it in the database, and I will get those out to you guys more than likely tomorrow. So look for them sometime early next week. I also wanted to, you know, put in a little personal letter to both of you for your support, you know, a little thank you note and those types of things, and I hadn't written that yet. But expect to get them early next week. Let's see what else. Haven't talked to Kayla. I did check the grant on grant.gov. No change there. Going to go check it now again. Just never know. I'm going to start calling them next week. Seeing if I can get a hold of a person to find out, you know, hey, is there a chance that it'll be looked at? If so, when? And if not, can they just open it up and look at it and critique, you know, the application so that, you know, we can improve on it? It's always better to have their feedback. And then, you know, how can we better get in front of them as far as these goes? So that's the update on those. Any questions? And hold on. Yeah, my speaker's still on. You're talking, Sister Denise. I can see you were talking, but I couldn't hear it.
No.
Okay, let me turn up your mic. All right, say it again. I think you said nope. Oh, hold on. All right, go ahead and try to talk again. Okay, I believe you said no. And what about you, Sister Mary? Any questions?
No, I have no questions.
Okay. So we are, you know, getting ready for this fall, and, you know, I want to hit the markets hard. They have two more markets that they are offering that, you know, we have signed up for. And then this is going to be a real test as far as the first markets are on first, second, and third Sundays, and then every Friday, and then once a month on Wednesdays. So making sure that, you know, we're growing consistently to meet those markets is what, you know, I need to stay on top of so that we go there with a crop, we go there with the powders, and we, you know, try to get this money and, you know, expand the business. So that's what we're looking at doing. Okay. Now, as far as bylaws. Let me share share my screen. And on the labeling, do you guys see, are you able to see that well enough?
Yes.
So you see what we have in there, 100% organic, contains the following microgreens: sunflower, broccoli, daikon, radish, pink radish, fenugreek, wheatgrass, sweet pea. And you know what? I probably should take the salad mix off of there because there's not going to be a salad mix in these. I did try to grow a salad mix now because it's been too hot for it. So we decided we would try this week tried two different, try one up under weight and one not up under weight, one up under the dome and one not up under the dome to see if we could get the other seeds that are part of the salad mix other than the broccoli to sprout and to grow. If not, I'll remove the salad mix from this label. And the product that you're receiving, the salad mix is in it. So it won't be a problem there. But this is where we are at right now.
Okay.
And I may even change these labels even further in the future. I'm not sure yet. I want to make them simpler, but also it needs to have, the website needs to be on there for how to contact us. The amount in the bottle needs to be there. So I don't know. I may have to make some things smaller, but right now this is the way that they look. And so we will be, as I said, I'll be mailing these out to you either tomorrow or, probably tomorrow. I have the envelopes and everything already made out. And, we also ordered. I don't have the powdered microgreens on the website to buy, and I need to update the website to show that we're offering them, and then I need to take a good picture of a bottle and put it up on Hebrew Connect, because I told them that I would be. Told them before that we couldn't ship, but now that we have the powder, then we can ship, and this is the price, and so I'll do a whole write-up and put it out there. I want to put it on the website so people can actually order it from there as well, because right now it's not on there. And I want to, make sure that we had the hydration process down pat and so forth and so on. And I believe that we have it down pat and so we're able to, sell them and have them. And I needed to build up a stockpile as well. So I think we're going to have probably 30 or 40 bottles in stock somewhere in there. And so if we, if orders pick up or we get some over the internet, then we're able to fulfill those. I don't want to go back to people and say, deliverable within 2 weeks. I want to be able to, fulfill those orders right away. Okay. Let's see. Where else are we at? Okay, let me bring up the bylaws and share my screen. And I haven't had a chance to look at these since the last meeting. So we're still in Section 12, I believe.
Yeah, that's 02.
Okay. Let me put my glasses. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. All right. So see if you're able to see my screen.
Yes.
All right, amen.
I can see.
Okay, good. So we're in 12.02?
Yes.
Okay. So we should be able to go through these fairly quickly. They're not, well, we may be able to. We got to read them and then see whether we can use them. Allowable debt for contract approval. Neither YFCC nor any pod shall approve a new contract for a member who has a debt to YFCC or any YFCC pod exceeding $50 unless the member is on or in compliance with a valid payment plan. Every July, the membership coordinator is to remind all pod membership coordinators, pod treasurers, and debtors of this policy. So we can actually delete this as we are just now starting this, so this wasn't amended by us. So neither YFCC nor any pod shall approve a new contract for a member, and we can leave that for any pod for future whenever we allow that to take place at the pod level.
Uh-huh.
For a member who has debt to YFCC or any YFCC pod exceeding $50. So they can't get a contract renewal if they owe more than $50. How do you guys feel about that?
So you said that's for the future use?
Well, as far as the pods making that decision, because right now these decisions are made at the corporate level.
Right.
So see where it says YFCC nor any pod?
Right.
So in the future, we can delegate if we leave or any pod, if we leave that or any pod in there, then we can in the future delegate that to the pod level. If we go big enough for that. If not, it stays at the YFCC at the corporate level.
Okay.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Well, no, this would if they're giving their all, but they can get behind. So if they're behind and they didn't make a contribution, but they still want to be a member, if they are more than $50 behind, they can't renew their contract.
Well, what if they're making $1,000?
Then they don't owe. Wouldn't apply then.
Yeah. So.
But if it don't change. Then their obligation is the same. The stipulation is there. If they owe more than $50, then they would. That's already stipulated. If they owe more than $50, okay. So if they
owe more than their contribution, they owe their contribution.
Then that'd be more than $50. I would hope.
Well, yeah. Okay.
So we're just putting a money amount on there because the contributions can be whatever they're approved by the board when they come on or the membership committee. If they say they're going to take somebody for $1,000 a month or they're going to take somebody for $800, then if that was approved, then that's what their commitment is. If they get behind in their payment, then if they owe more than $50, we're saying that they can't renew their contract.
Well, there's no way they can catch up because they get behind, right? And they give it all in catching up. Say $2,000. They receive $1,000, and then they get behind, and then they make extra. They may get a new job or a new way of income, make $2,000, and that $2,000 is given to all.
Yeah, then we would have to say on your old commitment, this is what you owe. Your new commitment starts to state, and this is what you would owe.
Okay.
Okay, so if their income goes up, then we'll say, okay, start being liable for that on this day. Did everybody understand what she was saying?
Yes, I understood.
Okay. What about you, Sister Mary?
Yes, I understood.
All right. So if they owe any money, they get behind, they owe any money upon their renewal, then if it's more than $50, and we're saying that their contract can't be approved. They would have to bring it current.
Okay.
Let me read this over again. The member is in compliance with a valid payment plan. Okay, well, it says that they'll have a payment plan if they get behind.
Right.
Right.
Right. Member services would have to work with them to establish what a payment plan.
Right.
And so they'd have to be in compliance with that payment plan.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, I don't either. That makes sense.
This plan was already given them all.
Because if they get behind, okay, look at it like this. If they have a commitment for $1,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
and something happens and they can't pay their $1,000,
mm-hmm.
then the second time they do that, then they have to go on a payment plan. They have to set up a payment plan to try to catch up or to pay what they can pay. And then when their finances are straightened back out again, then they would go back on their normal payment.
Okay.
So if you were committed for $1,000 a month, that's what you have to be paying.
Okay. If you're committed for $1,000 a month, okay, so if you make more than that, so if you're committed for $1,000 a month and you end up making more than $1,000 a month,
then you don't
have to pay that more until they catch up.
Right. They wouldn't have to pay that more until they catch up because it was still up under their other contract. The contract is $1,000. If they get a job that they're making more than that, then they would be paying their $1,000 until, and if they were behind, they would be catching up. But then once they renew their contract, it would be for the higher amount because that's their all. Because they had an increase.
Okay, so something like 2 months, right? And they are that $1,000 behind before they can renew their contract.
Then they got to catch up or they got to go on a payment plan.
Okay.
Got to go on a payment plan, and that would be up to the member services officer to go and say, okay, what's your situation? How much can you pay? Well, this is what I can do right now. Okay, so this is the payment plan, and this is what you are in arrears. Okay. Now, if they have a permanent reduction in their income, then that's going to have to be renegotiated with the member services office for that committee. All right, so neither YFCC nor any pod shall approve a new contract for a member who has a debt to YFCC or any YFCC pod exceeding $50 unless the member is on or in compliance with a valid payment plan. Every July, the membership coordinator is to remind all pod members, membership coordinators, pod treasurers, and debtors of this policy. Anybody have a problem with that, the way that is written?
No.
Okay. So I make a motion that we adopt section 12.02 as written. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 12.02 is adopted as written. Section 12.03, communicating member debt policy. A summary and a flow chart of member debt policies will be attached to all member contracts and posted in all pods. Per year, the member services coordinator will send all pod accounts, receivable treasurers, a summary. Now, right now, it's going to probably be the YFCC treasurer. So the membership coordinator would send that to the YFCC treasurer. But at the same time, if we grow and we get pod treasurers, then it could be delegated down to that level. Treasurer is a summary of how members and pod accounts receivable treasurers can follow member debt policy. So if we get big enough, and when we get big enough, then we delegate. The way this is written, we can delegate some of the duties from the member services officer to the POD member services officer, or from the YFCC treasurer to the POD treasurer, and they would be responsible for tracking that information and making sure that, you know, members are paying on time. And if they get behind, then they would be the one, you know, contacting them and setting up whatever. So it's just a matter of being at the corporate office or being at the what, POD level. So, and that information is to be provided 3 times a year. Anybody have a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with that.
No.
What about you? Okay. So I make a motion that section 12.03, communicating member debt policy, be adopted as written. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor said aye?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 12.03 is adopted as written. Now, of course, these are all policies, so, you know, we can change them as if we have to in the future. Okay. Policies are a what, living document? So they can be changed as required if we give them permission to change it, okay? Section 12.04, allowable debt for members. A member who is not on a payment plan is allowed to maintain a debt of up to $50 without risking contract termination or eviction. Okay, let's talk about that. And we may have to look at this $50 limit. Okay, a member who is not on a payment plan is allowed to maintain a debt of up to $50 without risking contract termination or eviction.
We already got something more.
You
got
to talk louder so everybody can hear
you. Okay,
you
already have something saying $50 or more. So why even bother to have that in there?
I don't know.
I don't be there because the top one basically says $50 or more.
For renewal.
For renewal, okay.
I think what this is intended to do is to make sure people are paying.
Mm-hmm.
We may need to change, and we may need to go back to that commitment. But circumstances change. So Sister Miles doesn't believe that this should be there. Thought from anyone else?
I don't think so either, because it said up at the front, it said if you have $50 to have a payment plan, and a payment plan had to be the payment plan has to be due at a certain time. So if you got a payment plan, why don't you have a payment plan?
And you also have somebody
right.
Who's so far behind, stating what would happen if you're so far behind of eviction.
Right. Right.
Earlier in the bylaw.
Earlier, we were talking about contract guarantors. I know $50 is not a lot of money.
$50 or more, then that, they can't be renewed, right? So they could be $50 behind forever along in that whole year. But as long as they're caught up, by the time they renew, they can renew, right?
Hold on a minute. That word didn't look right where I was reading it at. There's no such word as demember. That's like cutting somebody up. That won't work. Hold on a second. Did we skip this? This is not reading right to me. I know we went over this. Sister Mary, write a note to revisit section 11.19. Because we can't use that terminology, demember. If you demember somebody, that's like you cutting off limbs. Oh, we can't do that. But yeah, write that so we can revisit this section. Contract renewal. Contract renewal shall be so to do is a search on eviction.
So, okay.
So section 11.19, we need to revisit.
Okay.
Do we have this in? So in section 9.11, we talk about eviction. Executive sessions during board meetings. An executive session is defined as a discussion or decision item that only certain members, such as elected board reps from each YFCC pod, YFCC officers, YFCC staff, and or special invitees may be present for. A particular board member may be asked to leave if they will be a subject of discussion. The length of the session will include both discussion and final vote. No notes will be kept of the discussion, although tallies of any vote taken will be included in the meeting minutes. Okay, so they will come together. Instances in which the executive session can be called are limited to specific member issues such as eviction or appeals to the board. Okay. So that's not the area we want to be looking at. I don't see eviction here. That's 9/11. Yeah, this is that the board has to do that. If this notice is not cured, an eviction summons and complaint will be served on the 8th day. So let's read this section here. Failure to establish a valid membership contract. So this is if they don't establish, do everything that we require. According to the policy, members establishing residency in a YFCC pod have signed a contract and given their security deposit and fees before being given a key. However, life happens, and if it does occur that a member moves in before one or both of these obligations have been met, in these rare cases, YFCC will send a reminder email to the YFCC treasurer and YFCC member services committee, or if applicable, POD accounts receivable treasurer and POD membership coordinator, so that member services coordinator, and persons who have been living in an YFCC pod for 1 week without having turned in a signed contract or paying their deposit. This reminder shall give a 7-day deadline for compliance and include this policy. So this is if they have signed a contract but haven't completed everything? And they're just living there. If the person does not deliver a signed contract to their YCC office for the seventh, by the seventh day, either through electronic means such as DocuSign or by delivery of a hard copy along with a deposit, then that person will be served a seven-day notice for failure to establish a valid membership contract. If this notice is not cured, an eviction summons and complaint will be served on the eighth day and the next business day or the next business day by the YFCC staff. If a completed contract or deposit have not been delivered to YFCC office by the coordinating committee meeting date or a successful appeal made, then the eviction process will be carried out. Okay, so that's if they are moved in without signing a proper contract. Right. So that is still dealing with that. And so the next time we talk about eviction is down here, page 43. Okay. So right now, the only time we've talked about eviction is if they haven't signed a valid contract, fulfilled the requirements of the contract, or haven't paid their deposits at the required time.
Right.
Okay, so now we're talking about, now it's switching to people who are behind on payment, so we have to be, we need to talk about this one. A member who is not on a payment plan is allowed to maintain a debt of up to $50 without risking contract termination and eviction. How do we want to, I think we need more than just this here. And I do think we need it because we're not talking about, we haven't talked about evicting people who are not in compliance with paying. So,
I don't know what the other bylaw says past what I came in at, but does anything regarding how they'll be paying, will they just make it a full direct deposit?
Right, it'll be direct deposit.
From their job or whatever the income will be, straight into that, or they'll be doing it themselves.
Right. They'll be doing it themselves. Yeah, if they set up a direct deposit going to the account, it's just like at any job or anything like
that. Okay, like from the job, right?
Yeah, we're not going and...
Okay, because it sounds like it reads that they're the one that's paying it themselves monthly out of their pocket and coming in and paying.
That's more or less what it would be. How else could we get the money? We're not going to be signing into people's accounts or directly drafting their accounts.
No. Okay. Nowadays, jobs, and where you want your money to go, this account, that account, and a debit card, whatever, right?
So they could do that.
Okay. So are they required to do it that way? Because otherwise, they won't be behind on anything as long as they're working.
Yeah, okay. So we could say that we require them to do that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if we require them to do that, then if they lose their job, then they can still fall into these categories.
Yeah, they'll fall into that category. But you also said if they lose their job, which another thing came up that I thought about, they can work
right.
in the community, but they're already working in the community.
But they would be working in a different capacity.
In different capacity, okay.
So
them being behind is already taken care of.
No, not necessarily. Don't want to leave that blind like that because they have options, you know. So if they lost their job, then I think we covered that, that they could come in and let the member services office know this is what's going on. They set up a payment plan. I'm looking for, matter of fact, we need to look at that. Because we said that if they lost their job or something like that, that they could set up something where I think we set a time limit. They had to be looking for work, but we're not just going to kick them out on the street in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And but we did give anybody remember what the time limit was we put on that?
Yes,
And if you were talking to Sister Mary or Sister Denise, I can. Okay. Let me turn up my hearing aid. I don't remember expecting that was in.
Looking.
I think it was section 1115. Well, these are non-rent violations. Regard that.
You say 1115?
Yeah, it's not in there. That was something different.
Excuse me.
I haven't got what I'm looking for.
Payment.
Okay.
Was it 11.21? So that's contract renewal.
Let me see. What are we looking for?
I have no idea.
I forgot.
We're looking for the $50.
Nothing says $50 until we got there.
Oh, no. We were looking for eviction.
Yeah, but we said something that we're specifically looking for. You brought up something else.
Yeah, okay. I brought up that direct deposit. You already get a direct deposit into your account.
Every day.
Yeah. And that this is about
working
it
off. Is now in the conference.
Let's see here. Sister Clara, welcome to the meeting. Let me unmute you so you can answer. All right, Sister Clara.
Yeah.
All right.
Welcome to the meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to mute yourself.
On your end.
And if you have something, mute yourself. Testing one, two. So, what document do I have on the screen?
Section 1121, Section 1122, contract renewal and contract assist.
Okay. Is that what's on the screen?
Yeah, that's what I have to
say. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Change my screen. So. And now I need to find out specifically what we're looking for.
Like the days. Because we have so many days that you could... You can be late. It's like, I think it's 120 days or 130
right.
days. Or
so this is it. Don't keep bringing stuff up again. I'm trying to find what it is here. So this is contract extension if they have something come up.
Right.
Okay, let's see if I can come up with this. I don't remember what section we put this in. But I don't remember if I remember the
heading. I think it's in section 1122, and I think it was 90 days.
Section 1122?
Yes.
This is 168 pages. Heck no. I'm not 168 pages. No, I don't need to do it that way. It's easy for me to do it this way.
Okay.
Wasting all that paper and ink. And it's going to change the next week.
Oh, no.
You said section 11, what, 21?
Two. Contract was 50.
Section 11.22. Now that was suspension, right?
Right.
But we said the only reason that they could do a suspension So let's just read this, but I think we're only allowing contract suspension for certain reasons. So at the request of the member, coordinating committee is authorized to make the decision to suspend current member's contract. And suspension is not a cancellation or a termination. Here, the death of a close relative requiring the member to leave Yesteron Farms community to care for family matters. Serious illness of the member or of a close relative requiring the member to leave Yesteron community to care for said relative, and a business or government obligation. So those are the only reasons that we say that we will suspend the contract.
Right.
So that's different than termination.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see if I can do a search. Okay, that's on hiring and that kind of stuff, termination. I don't see that word here where it's saying that it's at in this. That's 11-14. Let's start right here then. A contract termination is an agreement between the two parties of an original contract, the member and YFCC, to end all obligations on the original contract. All contract terminations must be approved by YFCC. The member service coordinator signs the contract termination on behalf of YFCC and will not sign any contract terminations until the coordinating committee has approved. In certain circumstances, the member service coordinator is automatically authorized to sign a contract termination on behalf of YFCC. These circumstances include the death of a member, a situation where the new member has signed a contract through the end of the contract year for that dwelling, military deployment of a member, per law. At the request of the member, the coordinating committee is authorized to make the decision to terminate current member's contract on behalf of YFCC and to direct the member services coordinator to sign a contract termination form. Contract terminations will be effective at the end of the month in which the member moves out. Contract termination is appropriate in the following circumstances: the death of a close relative requiring the member to leave Yesteron Farms, serious illness of the member. Didn't we just read this? Maybe not. Serious illness of a member or a close relative requiring the member to leave Yesteron Farms Co-op to care for said relative, a business or a government obligation to leave Yesteron Farms Community Co-op that is outside the member's control. When any party can be documented as not fulfilling its obligations under the contract, and the member wants the pod and the member have gone through a grievance process to attempt to resolve these issues. In a situation where there is a conflict between a member and the pod regarding a contract termination, the member service coordinator will serve as a mediator to help the parties reach some agreement, either about fulfilling the terms of the contract or about ending the contract. If the member service coordinator approves the contract termination agreement between YFCC and a member, none of the above circumstances apply. The coordinating committee will look at the circumstances between the member and the pod, any conflicts or accusations of lack of contract fulfillment. The coordinating committee has the authority to waive member service coordinator approval of the voluntary contract termination only after an attempt by the member during the pod meeting to gain approval. This attempt must be documented and involve either a lack of member services coordinating action or a coordinating committee vote against the release. Housemate non-rent contract termination. If a member, 11-15, if a member or members of a YFCC pod want the contract of a pod mate to be terminated for non-rent. So these are non-rent violations. So this has nothing to do with payment. And we're talking about payment right now. Anything they're not keeping the standards of the community.
Would the rent and the payment be about the same? Ain't it about the same?
Rent and payment would be the same. But we're looking for what limit, what, you know, time frame we put on this.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't remember.
Can you type in the search thing or something? Look up.
So I'm doing it now. I'm looking at termination. Talked about domestic abuse. Talked about giving me 5 days for that. Because these are non-payment things. Unless they got a payment plan.
During that time, it was in those months where they kicked out on $50 up until they renew. It was a problem. $50.
It's written as a deterrent. I know that's why I say it. We have covered this stuff, so we need to find out so that we don't have conflicting instructions.
Like
yeah.
Did, and I don't remember where.
Yeah. So let's keep going here. Here, look
I
at that.
I'm not old.
Hold on, let me do one search at a time.
Okay.
So what is right here? Termination notice. This, I think this is the non-rent contract termination. Okay. So part of that, 38. So part of that same section. Contract suspension. Probable debt. Debt guarantor. 12.12. Is this where we were at? We were in 12.2, weren't we?
12.3.
Okay, so here it is in 12.12. It is the duty of all POD occupants, receivable treasurers, to immediately inform the member service support and in writing when a POD member defaults on a payment plan by failing to make a scheduled payment. The first time a member defaults on a given payment plan by failing to make a scheduled payment, the member service coordinator will pursue contract termination and eviction against them. For the first time a member defaults on a given payment plan. So these are people who have already been set up with a payment plan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Evictions. To this end, the member service coordinator will serve the member in question a 5-day pay or quit notice that can only be cured by getting up to date on their payment plan or by successfully appealing to the coordinating committee. Note that the member must request an appeal meeting. So let's just read this. I don't think we got down this far yet. If we did, we did it from a different perspective. Okay. So we're just going to read this for right now. That can only be cured by getting up to date on their payment plan or by successfully appealing to the coordinating committee. Note that a member must request an appeal meeting to the member service coordinator before the 5-day period expires. If the notice is not cured, the member service coordinator will file for eviction in small claims court. Now, I know we didn't talk about this because we ain't going to small claims court. And arrange for member in question to be served in eviction summons or complaint. A member facing eviction for default on a payment plan is automatically scheduled for an at the next coordinating committee meeting. In small claims court, YFCC will seek to have the member in question evicted unless all the following actions have been taken by the court date. The member is in question has reduced their debt to an allowable amount or is on a modified exceptional payment plan approved by the coordinating committee, and the POD account receivable treasurer has provided the member service coordinator with an updated billing sheet that reflects this. The member in question has been approved to continue living at their POD, and the POD account receivable treasurer has communicated this in writing to the member service coordinator, and the coordinating committee has decided that the member in question is not to be evicted. The time a member defaults on a given payment plan by failing to make a scheduled payment, the repercussions will be the same as they are for the first time, except that the member in question will not receive a five-day pay or quit notice that can only be cured by getting up to date on their payment plan or successfully appealing to the coordinating committee, but rather they will receive a 14-day termination notice that can only be cured by successfully appealing to the coordinating committee. 12.13, contract termination and eviction for excessive debt notice. If a member receives a fifth or subsequent debt notice within a one-year period, the member service coordinator will pursue contract termination and eviction actions against them. To this end, the member services coordinator will serve the member in question a 14-day termination notice that can only be cured by successfully appealing to the coordinating committee. An appeal to the coordinating committee will be automatically scheduled for the member. If the notice is not cured, the member service coordinator will wait until 3 days after the 14-day period expires, then will file an eviction in small claims court. We need to address this because we're not going to small claims court, and arrange for the member in question to be served in an eviction summons and complaint. In small claims court, YFCC will seek to have the member in question evicted unless both of the following have happened by the court date. The member in question has been approved to continue living at the POD, and the POD account receivable treasurer has communicated this in writing to the member service coordinator, and the coordinating committee has decided that the member in question is not to be evicted. A member whose contract is terminated for excessive debt notices is not allowed to contract for housing with YFCC for a period of 1 year from the date of termination. So this is once you get there. So according to this write-up right here, and I'm not finding, well, let's annotate this section 12.12. Continue reading, because I know we haven't discussed this, because we would not leave anything in there about going to small claims court.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our way. 12.13. Burden of court costs. Saying that they would be responsible for all court costs. So we got to come back to section 12.12 and 12.13. We haven't actually discussed these yet. Well, we have discussed this in another place. I do remember it. Just don't remember where. Okay, that's a different thing. If we can find this. Come on. All right, we're not doing Tupac. Something different. Okay, so let's look at, didn't find it up under that, let's look at payment. Definitely have to create an index for this document so we can look up stuff quickly.
Yeah.
Sister Mary, that's on you.
Excuse me. I beg your pardon.
You don't have to beg. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to be up under house report. Maybe in here. Member contract. Each new member upon joining YFCC must submit a valid check or money order payable to YFCC for the entire value of the security deposit, $1,000. Check or money order must arrive at the same time or prior to the new membership contract and submit it to the member services coordinator either directly or via the appropriate MOPOD membership coordinator, assistant for the finance coordinator, equivalent staff member. The membership service coordinator ensures that all security deposits are properly deposited, tracked, and returned. Each vacating member upon leaving YFCC is entitled to have their security deposit minus any legal deductions, any accounting of all deductions sent to them within 21 days after the contract ends, another person assumes responsibility for the room, whichever is sooner. Legal deductions include, but are not limited to, charges for damages beyond normal wear and tear. To this end, each YFCC cooperative pod may designate a person or position responsible for assisting YFCC staff on all security deposits returned in the absence of another pod designated. The main pod membership coordinator, who handles membership contracts, is the understood pod designate. The pod designate is responsible for completing a security deposit accounting form for each vacating member and making sure that it reaches the YFCC office within 14 days. So we know that this pod designate is going to be the MSC coordinator, or if we get big enough, the pod. We'll move it down to the pod. 14 days. Deposit account for form for each vacating member and making sure that it reaches the YFCC office within 14 days after the member contract ends, or another person assumes responsibility for payment of the room, whichever is sooner, based upon the information provided. On this form, YFCC staff are responsible for mailing the security deposit minus any legal deductions, any accounting. YFCC is responsible for mailing a check. Okay. It's a good practice for YFCC to email the pod membership coordinator when this has been accomplished. Pod staff returns security deposit, membership contract year. Okay, I think we're just going to have to bang this one out because I'm not seeing where we covered it before. I don't know whether we didn't update it, it didn't get updated or saved or something, but Yeah, no, I'll have to do that at another time. Okay, so let's go ahead and we're just going to start hammering this out then. And if we find that we have conflict with something, then it's policy we'll have to make them. If we find it later, then we will have to just make them reconcile. 7:08, we're going to 7:30. Okay, so... All right, so let's talk about this and let's see. I think we were talking about all kind of different situations when we were discussing this before. And so what I want to do here, let's just go ahead and make a decision here. And like I said, if we find that it conflicts in another section, then we will bring those two sections together and see if we can reconcile it and choose which one we want to go with. Does that make sense to everybody?
So if we can't find.
Yeah, I can't find it, and I can't remember. Usually I can remember the wording, and I can go right to it, but I can't call it up right now. So that is what we're going to do. We're just going to start here. We're in 12.4, allowable debt for members. Of course, this is what? Dependent upon circumstances?
Right.
So, community-wise, so let's change to $50. A member who is not on a payment plan. There is no such thing as a debt in this case. Who is not on a payment plan without risk of contract termination. So let's look at both of these that we just said. I think we have to get, we need to come up with, I know we did this before. Oh, let me see that piece of paper. So we got, let's call them situations, okay? Going to have people coming. So we got the normal situation where someone has obligated themselves. To a certain dollar amount a month, right?
Right.
And then we have, so that's going to be, we're going to call that a, this is a standard situation. Then we got situations where someone not able to meet their obligation. Let's say that it is. So if someone is not able to meet their obligation, they're a member of the community, I want to put this to in two categories, and you guys can tell me whether you agree or disagree. Two categories are category one, not their fault. Category two, it's their fault. Are those generic enough?
Yes.
Okay. Now we need to look at situations where it's not their fault first.
they lose their income,
right,
it's not their fault.
Well,
if their job lay them off, it's not their fault.
We're gonna say, we need to say, because if they lose their income, then we got to actually look at why did they lose their income.
Right.
No one should be actually. So let me put this down. Not their fault. One asterisk. We're going to talk about this. Loss of income.
If they get sick, it can't work.
Okay, so A, sickness, okay? B, so if they're sick, they lose their income. That's outside of their control. The job lays them off.
That's out of their control.
Right. So we got the loss of income due to sickness, the loss of income, the job lays them off, loss of income. What would be another reason somebody would lose their income? Anything but they quit. Job lays them off. That's out of their control. Well, I want to make sure we brainstorm and think about it. For sure.
Company goes out of business.
Right. Yeah. That would still be in, they've been laid off.
Oh, okay. That's the only two I can think of.
So we got two reasons there. Either they got sick.
They're from the FMLA.
Sickness. FMLA would fall up.
Family members. Not FMLA. But then they have to leave the family members.
We got that covered in another section.
Yeah, I know.
So we don't have to put it here.
So then basically it's only two that's out of your control.
Right.
Okay.
That I could think
of. So we can always go back and reorganize. Okay. So, and then now, it's their fault.
If they quit, if they get fired.
We ain't worried about a right to work. We had to go on by man's law. They quit.
Mm-hmm.
If they got fired, that's going to be they could have been negligent. Right. We're gonna say they quit. They got fired. Then we would have to know the reason why. If they quit their job, then there are some valid reasons for quitting. And if they got fired, then for each one of these, we're going to need to know what the specific circumstances.
Absolutely.
But laid off. Most of the time they get a severance. That could cover a few months of their stay.
Well, it may not even be that they're getting kicked out at all if it's beyond their control.
Yeah.
The thing is that we have to look at this, again, from a biblical perspective. So if they quit and they have no good reason for quitting except for they want to quit, then that's a problem. If they got fired, and they got fired because they weren't going to work or, it's their fault, they got fired, then that's a problem. Because they got to be more responsible than that. And they got to understand people can't just carry them because they don't want to work. Well, we have to deal with it person by person.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you need to talk loud enough so that everybody can hear you. Well, time will tell that. Time will tell that. You know, you got a saying, screw over me once, shame on, screw over me once, shame on me. Screw over me twice, shame on you.
Shame on you.
Yeah, the back opposite. In other words, ain't letting it happen twice. All right, so with this, if it's not their fault, then we need to come up with remedies that the community is willing to do, because we just don't put people out because something happened, it's not their fault.
Right.
So everybody in the community chip in and help them?
Right.
How?
Well, they just, we have to make it with the, without their income until they get more income.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so we know that it's a hit to the what, income, to the community. Mm-hmm. They
yeah.
have, you know, we have to, of course, we're going to be, you know, they would have to understand that they need to be seeking what, other employment
yeah.
and that kind of stuff. Or however they make their money, besides, you know, as long as they ain't nothing illegal. So if it's due to sickness, then the community's going to carry them as long as they're not able to work due to sickness. And then we would have to, you know, we would have to be able to, what, verify that?
Right.
Well, the other thing we have is contract guarantee. But even if you have all these relations already set in place for them to have a contract guarantee.
We have only if they're a certain age or they couldn't pay. Now, we might have to go back to them and say they need a contract guarantee. They may not have one. Or they may not be, have been required to
but
have
if
one.
If they're behind, they may have to get one because we have said that earlier. If they're behind so many months, they have
to. Yeah, but we have to also look at, again, we can't be so worldly and so worried about money that if the situation calls for it, that we are going to be bugging them about money.
I agree.
Or getting, you know, when if the community is able to foot it, then we're able to foot it, and we should. But if they're young and prove to be, this right here, if they lost their income, that's not a financial irresponsibility.
I know.
That's not demonstrating, at least not in my book. That's not demonstrating.
But guarantee where someone is to also pay their
yeah, but that don't come into play here yet.
Okay.
Because you can't, then everybody has to come in with a guarantee.
Not coming in, but they can speak someone if they can find.
Yeah, we need to come in with a time frame for that.
Okay.
I don't want that to be, oh, you've been out of work 30 days. You need to find somebody to guarantee your payment. No.
How many months?
Somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Somewhere. But I don't, I believe in the good of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in giving people the benefit of the doubt. Until they give me a reason not to.
Why?
Okay. So having, you know, having the rules set, you know, I want to protect the community also, but we need to be in the mind frame of this is family. We're counting on each other. You know, when push comes to shove, we're counting on each other. We're living in that close quarters. It's not the world. So we're going to make sure that we maintain that throughout. We don't, you know, the scripture says don't eat. I mean, don't work, don't what?
Eat.
Don't eat. I mean, and so we want to stay within that. At the same time, we have to also have compassion. And so if somebody, if they're, you know, they, you know, I don't know too many people, I don't really know anybody that tries to get sick. I'm sure there's people out there that do it, but that try to get sick and fall upon, you know, If they're sick like that, and let's say it's cancer or whatever, we're not going to say, oh, because you can't pay that, you got to go. That's just not going to happen. Okay. If they are, if they get sick and they're not able to work, then depending upon how sick they are, then, we have to look at it and say, okay, because that brings along, if you're sick, you can't take care of yourself either. If you're that sick. And so right. Do they have family that can take care of them in the community? What if they're single? If somebody in the community has to take care of them, we just don't kick them out because they're sick. We're not going down that road. That's not happening. So then the community has to look at and say, okay, we have to think of this ahead of time. Because we have to put in place, if Brother Miles gets sick and he's not able to work and he's not able to do whatever, if he's single, then somebody has to take care of him.
Right.
If it's just a so-and-so, and it's the same thing, and somebody has to take care of the community, come together and say, hey, okay, we're going to, do shifts. Somebody's going to be responsible for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Somebody's going to be responsible for going in and cleaning up the place, that kind of stuff, because that's community, right. And that's family.
Mm-hmm.
Then financially, then the community just have to suck it up until they get better. Because that is just the way it has to be.
Yes.
Now, if they claim to be sick and somebody catch them outside doing something they ain't supposed to do because they pretending like they sick, now we got a whole different problem. Because now they have abused community. Okay. And then, with that type of action, then, I can be just as hard. You know what? You need to find a job and start contributing. I don't care if you're breaking down sweat, whatever the case may be, but you gotta start carrying your load. Okay, cause it's not fair to everybody else to carry you when you're not really sick.
All right.
So, I want to be compassionate. I want to be show empathy. Show sympathy, but at the same time, we're not going to be made a fool of either. Okay, so we got to give people the benefit of the doubt at first. Trust me, it'll come to light. If they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, if they're faking or if they're doing whatever, it will come to light.
Yeah.
It'll come to light, and then they'll just have to face the wrath of the community. You got to go. Not yesterday, not today, but yesterday. Because you have broken trust, you have no integrity. You are here to use people, and you're not here to actually be an Elohim fearing member of the community.
Right.
Okay. So that is the mindset that we have to always be of. And so we're going to give them a little leeway. You sick? If you're sick, you got temperature, you got this, you got that, there should be some ways to tell that they're sick. So, anybody disagree with that stance? Speak up or forever.
No,
speak
I don't.
Up. Okay, I heard Sister Denise, Sister Mary.
No.
Sister Sharon.
Sister Clara. Oh, I said I'm in agreement.
Okay.
All right.
So, compassion first, love, because that's what the community is supposed to be about. We can't afford to take, we can't afford from the beginning to take a lot of charity cases from the beginning, people who are just not able to until we're able to.
Right.
Okay. And that's the goal, to be able to get to the point where we're able to offer people who are less fortunate and want to live a certain lifestyle, live by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, that they're able to join and do that. And they may not have the ability to pay. Then whatever the community can do, then that's what the community votes for and says this is what we're going to do. And then they would join. join and they would contribute how, you know, it's like people who didn't have jobs and couldn't pay tithes. And so they said, well, they'll do this service. And that would be their, you know, equivalent to their tithe, quote unquote, in the church. But we got to be, you know, have compassion like that. So if they're sick and, you know, and it's verifiable that they're sick and they're not able to get up, they're not able to work, yada, yada, yada. They are a member of the community. They were doing what they were supposed to do and destruct them, then that's not their fault. We're not going to penalize them for that. Okay. Now, you have to look at, too, as I said, the Spirit of the Most High will testify. He will let us know, hey, so-and-so ain't doing whatever. Or they're going to, sooner or later, they're going to reveal themselves. And so, we just have to show love and compassion until they show that they are not being, you know, straight up or forthcoming. If they're trying to take advantage, then it'll come up and, you know, then we're going to be like, okay, now you got to pay the wrath of the community. So loss of income, then of course we're going to say, hey, you're able to work. You lost your income. If it's for a reason they got laid off, if the reason that they got fired was not, you know, their fault, we don't believe it's their fault because that happens as well. Then we will say, okay, then you have to be actively seeking, you know, employment. If we don't have a position within the community that they can work, you know, as far as receiving pay, or like, okay, I'll give a classic example. We get the glamping site up and running. And we're going to need X amount of workers to maintain that. You know, when people check out, go in and clean up, put new seats on the bed, restock everything, make it presentable for what, the next people who are going to rent it? We're going to need enough people for that. Let's say we don't have enough people to do that. Then as the position comes open, or it's open, and we say, okay, you can't find employment anywhere else. You can do this. And we will say that we're paying you X amount, and that's coming, and that's going to be your contribution to the community. Does that make sense? So, you know, and we would price it out. You know, whatever the amount we put on it is really not that important, but that's going to be their contribution to the community, and that's what they would be paying. So if we said $500 a month, we're really taking out of the glamping what we need to survive no matter what. We're just saying we're giving them credit for $500 a month because they lost their income.
Right.
And they're working there to do that. Okay. So it shows that they are contributing. And we've already said, you know, if somebody makes $5,000 a month or somebody makes $1,000, as long as it's their all, it's equal.
Right.
Okay, so we don't want to get away from that either. Okay, because somebody giving their all, they're giving their all. Whatever that is, and if we accept it, we accept it. So, they get laid off, then, you know, we will actually, you know, they will have to show that they're actively seeking employment. If we don't have positions available where they can work in the community at something that's generating income, or if we're going to, let's say we have other positions, and we have to sit down and talk about this, like the farming and that kind of stuff, because we need to be able to put a price to things so that if it comes to this, like this, okay, you're working. You're not permanently working the farm, and this is what we're paying you to work the farm, and so this is what you're giving to the community. Does that make sense? Okay, anybody else?
Okay.
Sister Mary?
Mary probably wanted to sleep on you.
Mary, but not Hello. Mostly people will be taking notes. You still here, Sister Mary, or you sleep?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, amen. Okay, so it is 7:30. So this is what I'd like for everybody to do. You know, I think we did send out this section one time early. And everybody was supposed to review it. And then I think we went through it previously.
Previously.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
So we're going to start with section 12.05 on 12.04
on next week.
And I want you to come
with the thoughts in your mind
about how we should handle
how we should handle
get sick. Those that lose their income, not their fault. And then what we should do for
those that
do something to get so they quit their
job, they
were tired of working. Or they got
fired.
And when we get the
circumstance,
we don't think that,
it was their fault.
How should we handle
this?
Okay. Do you have that, my sister?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
All right.
Sister Nisha, comes to me in the West.
Huh?
I said, Sister Nisha, comes to me in the West. All right.
So we're going to table 12.04.
Let's say we're going to table 12.03
through
the end of 12.
Because
this is all done. And we will come back. Once we, you know, we just need to start discussing this and breaking it down. So, and I want to
keep it
generic, as much as possible. And then we'll let the member
officer,
or committee, you know, flesh out the individual factory's case. And come up with a solution. So we'll just say if it's not their fault, then these things can be done.
If it is their fault,
then these things can be done. So, and I think we can actually
word
it that way. If somebody, loses their income, to no fault of their own, then this is what the committee is willing to do. I mean, what the community is willing to do. And if they lose their income,
and it's their fault,
then these are the things that must happen.
And we will
quantify those.
Next week.
Any objections to that?
I don't have any.
No, I have not.
Okay.
With that being said,
I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting. Do I have a second?
All in favor, say aye.
Okay, I'll go ahead and say Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Father. And we thank you for
meeting tonight.
We ask that you would put each person, in the mind,
that we should
show compassion
and love toward
those that are
serving
in the community.
Not as
forthcoming
or upright as they should be, that we come up
that
with fear
and
righteous
judgment
concerning them. Father, I pray that you would look after each and every person.
Each and every person.
Attending the meeting
tonight.
That you would
that you
bless
would
them.
Bless them.
And secure
and
them.
Secure them.
In the only way.
In the only way.
In Yeshua HaMashiach.
In Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen.
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 All right. So we will pick this
so
up on next week.
Next week.
Tomorrow is. I have to look and see.
I have to look and see.
We're still doing.
We're still
that.
Doing.
If we finish that.
If we finish that.
Or not.
Or not.
And then. Remember that
the
evening of the
evening
is going to be
is going
moon,
to be,
not the new moon
the
and
new moon,
the feast of trumpets.
Feast of trumpet.
So I believe we're doing the Exodus. Yeah, we're still doing the Exodus. So that's where we will be.
That's
at tomorrow.
Where
we're leading up.
We're
to,
leading up the trumpet.
In that study.
So that being said,
may the Most High bless you.
May the Most High
keep you safe from all hurt and pain and harm.
Until
we meet again, I really do. I cannot love you like
you.
Fear Yah and keep your own
saints.
Shalom and have a happier evening. And let me get back to the
online.
Oh, remember also next week. We start having the
private
meeting.
I will probably
only publish the 480
number,
which dials into the
room.
The blog talks about
the
516
number.
People will not be able to get into the meeting on that number. Okay, so amen.
all about you. Cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Brother and sister Miles, long family.
Hello, family. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You were saying what?
You just had to be private.
Because we're going to be discussing finance.